Here's another She Unlimited podcast. She Pods are here for you to laugh, listen, and learn with. So sit back and enjoy.
People have the impression of artists, I think, frequently have the impression that, you know, business and marketing and engineering and stuff are, that's over my head. But really, it's all problem-solving skills, you know. It's all like, oh, okay, how can I make this better? What can I do that's different? How can this object or code or social relationship be changed to do something else that's unexpected? So, yeah, so I kind of operate all over the map a little bit.
That's very cool. And is that's how you approach your art as well?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, a lot of it is, you know, probably 90% of my artwork is made from recycled material to a large degree or entirely. And a lot of that is just re-envisioning, you know, it works both ways. I'll see an object and go, oh, how can this be something different than it is? Because it's a cool object, and what else could it do? And then sometimes it's like, wow, I need this very specific thing that's beyond my capability to fabricate. And so what looks like that could be that? You know, like with the fireball is a great example. I saw them cutting the ends off of propane tanks. It's this perfect bowl. And I'm like, wow, I could never make a perfect bowl like that, but I could take that bowl and turn it into something really cool.
Take me from an inspiration to a finished product. How long does it take you to get something finished and tangible?
It really depends on the object. You know, the fireball, I had the idea instantly. I bought the thing, took it home, did a prototype pretty much right away. Another story that's kind of cool that gives you an idea. My buddy Neil and I were sitting around one Wednesday evening having coffee in Chicago, and we thought, you know, what can you get away with on the Chicago River? And to test what you could get away with, we decided to build a 30-foot-long dragon-shaped boat that breathed fire. And we sailed that on Sunday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, about 5 days to make a 30-foot-long boat that breathes fire.
And what reaction did you get with that?
You know, the cops showed up, and as soon as they thought that it was art and not crime, they went away and wished us happy sailing. And, you know, we did it every year with a new boat for 3 or 4 years. And then just, you know... became, you know, we may do it again, and so there was talk of doing it in England earlier this year and of sailing it on the Mississippi, and both of us had other projects that just made that not happen, but, you know, it could happen again. But then there are other ideas I've had that, you know, will kick around for years before they actually get implemented. So it can go both ways. It can be a really fast kind of development, and sometimes it just, you know, I'm working on getting a new building put up here made out of shipping containers I've been thinking about for 12 years, but this is the year I'll probably get that started.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that's going to be cool.
Your website is kind of eclectic. Can you tell us about it? What will we find when we go up there?
You'll find ironwork, the whole line of fireballs. You'll find mosaic and glass and marble, sculpture. I suppose there's still furniture on there that people can see, but I no longer make furniture. Let's see, mosaics made from bottle caps. What else do we have up there? Some stuff about public art. All kinds of things, really.
What do you like to work in or do the most as far as art is concerned?
Really all of it, because that keeps it fresh for me. I really have no real interest in specialization. I do try to create work that is very refined and permanent, you know, that will last generations. But I find that every different medium that I work in informs the others. So, you know, I was a poet for 15 years, and I find very much that the editing process and the wordplay and some of the modes of thinking that went into writing will influence my visual artwork. I played music on the streets for a living at one time, and some of my fences are very influenced by musical structure and notation. So I really find that, I guess the bottom line, what I like is the creative process and creating new stuff and throwing it out into the world and seeing what happens with it. but I can get equally excited about writing a new piece of code that does something that I haven't seen before as I do about, you know, creating a new sculpture that's a beautiful abstract that, that pushes the envelope in some new direction for me.
Let's move to marketing for a minute. Can you give some advice to bloggers, how they could market their blog, or people just starting a website? What's some basic advice they could have on the Internet to market themselves?
I think the most important thing is to figure out who the top people are in your niche and try and build a relationship with them. Just sending them a link and saying, hey, link to me isn't going to work. But if you, you know, if you figure out who the people are that really are respected in the community you're trying to enter, and you build a relationship by commenting on their site and maybe emailing them to let them know about something that you know they'll be interested in, but that you also know, because you haven't seen them writing about it, that it will be fresh for them. You know, do favors for people, give things away, make yourself available, make it easy to contact you, you know, network with everybody. Don't assume that smaller, less famous people are going to be less important than the big shots. You know, like I have links into my site from Variety Magazine and from DIY Network, but I'll get a lot more traffic actually from some blogger nobody's ever heard of, whose friends and family or whoever happen to click through to look at stuff. So it's really changed the rules of the game a lot. You know, it's important to be civil, extremely important, figure out who people really are and what they're really looking for and really try and be accommodating to that. With the code business, I never intended to actually write code for money. I just wanted better software, and I launched a site to make some suggestions to Typepad, where I host my blogs. They took the suggestions seriously. It got a lot of dialogue going. A year later, people wanted to hire me to do code. You know, and initially I turned them all down because I didn't really want to do, you know, I was busy with the art. But eventually I was like, okay, well, if you're willing to pay me scads of money, then yes, I will write code for you. Yeah, you know, I mean, I priced it where I thought it would rule out a lot more people than it turned out that it did.
Well, that's good for you.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I mean, it's a funny thing because this summer, both the artwork and the code have just astronomically grown, and, you know, I'm now looking to hire people, you know, at least part-time or by the project, and, you know, that's great, actually. But it also turns out where, you know, I don't blog as much as I used to because I'm remarkably busy. Blogging is something that's a lot easier to do when you have time on your hands. You know, and it's a really good way to leverage yourself sometimes to a position where you perhaps have more money than time. You know, and then I guess the question is, well, are you, you know, is it viable to pay people to do some of that for you? And that becomes really dicey because so much of it is personality driven.
True, very true.
You know. People buy the Fireballs because they want a Fireball and they like the product and whatever, but a lot of it, I think, is also influenced by who I am and what I've said and how I've gone about it. And, you know, I can outsource something like cleaning up the cutting slag on the Fireball, but I can't really outsource, I don't feel, the PR or the marketing, or, you know, I can't pay somebody to properly answer my emails in a way that sounds like me.
Exactly. How has the Internet changed your creativity process?
It's opened up a lot of doors for collaboration. Right now, there's a project that I'm hoping is going to go forward. Do you know who Hugh McLeod is of GapingVoid.com?
No.
Okay. He's a blogger who's very well known in the marketing space, but he also does cartoons on the back of business cards, and he does some very interesting abstract drawings that I think would look really amazing as gates or fences. And so we're talking about potentially collaborating. He's American, but he lives in the UK. and collaborating with her, I would take one of his abstract drawings and turn it into a gate, and we would work together on marketing that and split the profits. You know, and that's an interesting opportunity that wouldn't have been available to me before the web. I'm also talking with a, this is another project that's in development, a marketing company that has a large corporate client that is looking for somebody to spearhead a public art program in four cities utilizing recycling somehow giant outdoor signage. And again, I don't know whether this is going to actually come through or not, but it's an interesting discussion. And what I'm talking about with them is building a site where, in order to make this public art, in order to open the process up to the community, I'm talking about building a website where people who live in the area that the art will be placed can go to the website, upload their own drawings and photos and ideas, and then rate those ideas and discuss the design process. And I would take, you know, perhaps the best liked art that's been submitted and work it into a broader design that would then be put on the sign. And so, you know, perhaps they'll all upload photos and vote on them. I look at the best of those, figure out a way to do a cool collage mural on the sign, and maybe do four versions of that, and then they get to vote on which of those four versions will be the final piece. So that's a way to involve a huge number of people, potentially, in a public art project. And it's really something that's never been tried, to my knowledge. It's something I've been talking about for a while, because I think that, you know, the two big things about public art are making it site-specific and involving the community, and the web is just a wonderful way to do that.
Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and your voice with She Unlimited. It's greatly appreciated. Until next time, I'm Gary Connolly, and you're tuned into SheePods on the She Unlimited Network.